This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hi everyone. This is Paul Simpson, manager at Carlisle United, and you're listening to the Blue Army Podcast.
My name is Jamie Devitt.
My name is Maddie Robson.
My name is Chris Miller.
My name is Paul Anderson.
My name is Mark Boyd.
Hello. My name is Derek Combs.
My name's Toby Show Silva.
My name's Greg Abbott, and you're listening to the Blue Army Podcast. Enjoy.
Hey,
Ian.
Hey,
you've had a shave of your head.
a bit all over as well, yeah. A bit all over. Number one all over, yeah. It's gone. I'll tell you what else has gone as well. Good segue to this. There's a couple of managers leaving at the end of the season. Obviously, Xavi is going to be leaving Barcelona, and Klopp's going to be leaving Liverpool. I always like to, you know, take cheeky bets on things. And I'd like to see who your guys' sort of bet would go with for the replacements for Barcelona and Liverpool jobs. I'll tell you mine, because I'll give you a little bit more time to sort of like have a think, obviously. A bit more time to think. But mine would be, I think, Jose Mourinho for the Barca job, just because it's in history.
Not a chance.
I honestly think it's an outsider. That's why the money's worth throwing on it. And, Barcelona needs somebody. I don't know. We'll see. And then for the Liverpool job, Xavi Alonso, I think, would be a good shout for that one.
I think Nuno Espirito Santos.
Is that who you're saying for the Liverpool job, yeah?
Yeah, that's who I think for the Liverpool job, yeah. Not Barcelona, but... Could see him kind of making a step up to managing a proper big club in this country.
Yeah. And what about the Barcelona job?
I don't know, but not Mourinho.
Not Mourinho. Maybe Klopp then?
Oh, could be. Yeah. It's, maybe Klopp fancies enough, because he's not, he's not retiring from management. I think managing in England can take it out of you, and he's clearly kind of come to the end of, the amount of stress he's prepared to experience.
Absolutely. And Max, who are you going with, Liverpool and then Barcelona?
Yeah, Liverpool, I would go with Xavi Alonso. Barcelona, I don't know. I could see Pep Guardiola maybe going before all the charges kick in for City. Come back to Barcelona.
If he knows, if he's got insider knowledge that, next season Man City are going to start with a 30-point deduction. And
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, to be fair, 30-point deduction,
they'd probably still survive.
They probably stay up, down.
Liam, who are you going with, mate?
I think Liverpool's pretty much just dead on it with Xavi Alonso. Or Thomas Frank. I quite like Thomas Frank at Brentford, but probably Xavi Alonso. And Barcelona, I think you could be right by saying Pep Guardiola, or maybe Luis Enrique from PSG. I know he used to manage them a while ago. Return for him, maybe.
Yeah. Well, all good bets, lads. Place your bets now. I'll kick things off properly, though. Oh, it's Maris. How's it going? And welcome back to the Blue Army Podcast. This is, of course, episode 140.
four, and I am absolutely buzzing to finally once again be joined by the full house that I like to call the Cumbrian Brain Trust. That's right, I'm talking about Liam, Max, and Wills. Welcome back. Thank you very much for joining us all once again on the Blue Army Podcast. Lads, how are we?
Okay.
Yeah, not bad.
It's been a busy
miserable
day.
Miserable. It's going to be difficult when we dive into the match report, but we'll see how we tackle it. You know, we might vent some frustrations. We might feel better come the end of the show because we've had an opportunity to do that. You never know. You never know. But you know what I do know is that I'm going to try and kick things off with a laugh like I always try and do around here at this time of the show. And that can mean it's only time for one thing and one thing only. It's time for the Blue Army Podcast Joke of the Week. Is I think he's trying to. It's the Blue Army Podcast. Joke. Right, guys, here we go. Did you hear about the pound coin that was thrown onto the pitch during the Barrow game?
Did someone pick it up and have signed a new player with it?
Well, Will. The incident is currently under investigation because it's unclear if it was a targeted abuse or a takeover bid.
It's a takeover bid or one change.
well, we're doing all right with these Barrow jokes at the moment. Like, we're going to try and keep along those themes. But I'm going to pass over into the very capable hands of Wills and Liam in the part of the show where we all get to find out what's been happening here. What's been happening there in the league? One roundup with Liam and Wills.
Hey, so I've got a few things Spire this week. I don't know if you've looked up anything else, Liam, but
I've got more Reading. Nothing. Yeah, just Reading.
More Reading based news. Their former chief executive, Martin Howe, who is in charge of brokering a deal for their owner, Dai Young, to sell, has spoken out to address rumours that a sale was imminent by saying it's not likely that the club will be sold before mid-March. So if they're going to carry on for pretty much most of the rest of the season under the current ownership, whether that's going to lead to further points deductions, because they've currently got a suspended one, if they're going to struggle to pay players or the tax man on time again in the next couple of months, that's a possibility. Other things that have kind of come out of that sort of Reading story is that he mentioned that Mike Ashley, whose name had come up as an interested party before, has pulled out. He's no longer one of the, I think I've got 8 interested parties, but Mike Ashley's not one of them.
Okay.
Also, they've sold one of their hottest young prospects, Nelson Abbey, to Olympiacos, which is a bit of a surprising move, really. He's been their captain as well parts of this season, made 31 appearances for them as a centre-back, and he's in the England under-21 squad. Not under-21, sorry, under-20. So, them selling him to Olympiacos is, presumably has been done to try and get a bit of money so that they can kind of pay these things that they have to pay. So, yeah, continuing trouble for Reading.
Is that a move that any of you guys would make? Like, the Panathinaikos, from Reading to Panathinaikos?
To Greece? Absolutely.
Olympiakos. Yeah.
I mean, it's not necessarily a move that Reading would entertain if they weren't in trouble, but I'm sure for the player involved, it's possibly a good opportunity, especially the direction Reading appear to be going.
Yeah.
Another team down at the bottom end of the table, Charlton. I don't know, weren't really expecting them to struggle to this extent, but after Purin left them only 4 points clear relegation, Michael Appleton has been sacked and Curtis Fleming has taken over as caretaker and begun his reign with a draw at Blackpool. But yeah. they
It's a surprising one, isn't it? Because they've got one of the league's top goal scorers in May, ex-Cheltenham player. You know, so it's weird to see them struggling that much, especially when they've got such a free score and attack.
Yeah, and that was kind of one of the, you know, big signings that anyone made in this division this summer. So you definitely thought that that was something that was going to propel them into the promotion race. I think since, I don't know who their owners are now. They used to have bad owners, but I think they're on a, you know, a fairly even keel at the moment, but just hasn't worked out for Michael Appleton, who is one of their managers. He's had some very good spells in charge of clubs, and he's also had some poor spells in charge. Mm. So this will go down as one of his poorer ones, but I'm sure that somebody in the bottom two divisions will look at him probably before the end of the season. He's one of their managers that people like to bring in as an experienced head if they need a change. And then the only other thing that caught my eye in the news is this Port Vale fan who's run on the pitch to confront the referee.
It's like, it's funny, but at the same time, it's actually like quite mental.
Yeah, he'll probably got such a big ban for that as well. It's like, is it worth it, really?
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
it's not as if he's going to change his decisions.
Yeah, I mean, you know, not just a ban as well, it's a criminal offence, and
it's intimidation, isn't it? He hasn't just pitch invaded, he's like, yeah, attacked someone
after him.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, he has been arrested and he's currently out on bail, so it's, you know, it's not like the normal, you know, when people, you know, when the Carlisle fans run on the pitch, and obviously they're not going to hoover up and arrest everyone, but they make the point that it's a criminal offence. But if it's one fan that runs on the pitch and threatens a referee, then they'll throw the bucket in, most likely.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Strange decision, isn't it, from him?
Well, it's, emotions running high. Port Vale, another club that are sinking towards the relegation zone. And it was all over a penalty that was awarded to Portsmouth late on in the game, which Portsmouth scored and won 1-0, which the Port Vale fans weren't happy with. And as I say, one of them's felt so aggrieved that he's decided to go and have a word with the referee himself. How he chased the referee off the pitch.
Yeah, that's the video I've seen.
Quite a good video, but yeah.
Yeah, he had to run down the tunnel, didn't he?
Yeah.
I'll have to check it out. Liam, have you got anything?
No, that about covers it, to be honest.
That covers all the league.
Yeah,
I mean, I had a look through the transfers. We are getting close to the end, but the only one that came out to me was that Reading one to Olympiacos. On that,
I wonder how many times that transfer has happened. Reading to Olympiacos. I bet you there isn't many.
The only one, yeah. Where did Pascal Chimbonda go? He went to Greece after leaving us, didn't he? Not Olympiacos, though.
Yeah, somewhere. I doubt it was that, like, high profile.
Yeah.
I don't remember, no. But no, cheers, lads. Thanks very much, because we all got to find out what's been happening here. What's been happening there in the league? One roundup with Liam and Wills. Now, Max, it's the penultimate episodes of your little series that you've done throughout January. It's time for Max's transfer roundup. Go on, lads.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's been another busy week for Carlisle since the last episode. Three new signings coming in. Two of them probably going to make more of an immediate impact. And another one is maybe more for the future. But firstly, Jack Diamond comes in on loan from Sunderland. A very highly rated player. Quite a lot of League One experience. Mainly with Harrogate. He's had three separate spells there. So he'll be familiar to Luke Armstrong. That's one thing I sort of thought when he came in. Hopefully, because they've played together quite a bit, then they can link up for Carlisle this season, because it is goals we need. And I thought out of the three, he was probably the most exciting signing for me, just in terms of immediate sort of impact, hopefully. Secondly, Josh Vella, I don't know how you pronounce it, so apologies, Josh, if you're listening, I'm sure you are. He's come in on an 18-month deal from Fleetwood after being their captain, I think, for the last 18 months, roughly for them. There is an option on his contract as well. I think it's like related to appearances. I think there's an extension triggered if he plays a certain amount of games. For looking on Twitter as well after he joined, he's a bit of a yellow card merchant by the sounds of it. I think you might have mentioned it in his interview that he needs to cut down on that. But another interesting one, obviously an experienced League One player, 30 years old, hopefully in the prime of his career, and also obviously being captain at Fleetwood. I know they're not doing too brilliantly. I think they're the only team doing worse than us this season.
Yeah, but, at one point during the game, they were going above us, but...
I mean, yeah. I mean, at least we're not rock bottom.
But big relegation zone, isn't it?
It is. I did find it a little bit confusing as to why they would let the captain go at this stage in the season, especially where they are. Have they had change of manager recently?
They've changed the manager every sort of few months, Fleetwood.
I think they've had quite a few this season, haven't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, as well with Fleetwood, they're in some sort of trouble. We don't really know what the situation is, but as things stand, they are still owned by a man who's currently in jail.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a thing, you know, we might be in the relegation zone, but I think the club is in a much brighter place than a lot of the teams around us, which is a positive.
Charlie
Adam was appointed manager of Fleetwood on December 31st, so he's not been around.
I mean, for other clubs, that isn't an old manager, but you know, on averages, he'll be gone in a couple of weeks. So maybe has been there quite a while by their standards.
Third signing we made was an interesting one, and I don't think anyone sort of saw it coming. Anton Dudek comes in on a deal to the end of the season following a trial period. I believe he's a Ukrainian player, 19 years of age. I believe he came over to England after the invasion last year. Had some trials with various clubs, but I believe this is the first professional deal he signed in the country. I think he might have been on loan at Salford at some point. Not on loan, on trial, sorry. So definitely a development sort of project. You know, obviously Simo's seen quite a bit of potential in him. I think he's going into the youth team just for now. Probably play a few Cumberland Cup games just so they can keep an eye on him. And no doubt if he impresses, that deal will be extended come the end of the season. So it's nice. I'm not sure whether we would have made that sort of signing before the takeover, maybe when money was a bit tighter. But it seems like now we can afford to put money into, you know, potentially good players who obviously they're quite excited about the player he's going to turn into.
Yeah, it'd be a great story if he comes in and does well.
Yeah, definitely. He was at Shakhtar, so I mean, I think probably if you are Ukrainian and half decent, you probably, that's the club to be at.
Shakhtar's like right in the, you know, right in the area that's like, you know, the heart of the war as well. So I don't know what the club are doing at the moment, whether they've just kind of put everything on hold.
I think they do still exist, but they're playing at like a different ground. So they're playing far away
Might be playing in Poland or something, maybe, I don't know.
But
yeah, exciting one. Obviously, be interested to see how he gets on and whether that deal is extending come the end of the season. But I don't think anyone knows much about him at this stage.
No, I looked him up and he's just got a few Ukrainian teams on his sort of transfer market profile where he was in the youth team for. So, know nothing about him, but, you know, be exciting to find out if he's good.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely one for the future, hopefully. Now, moving on to the rumours, it's been obviously Twitter's been, or X, sorry, has been quite lively. as our search for an experienced striker continues, there's names flying around. Charlie White's been the ever-present one. And I have seen more stuff about that recently, actually. There is a rumour that he's keen on joining on loan, but Wigan aren't as keen. But we'll see what happens. I think he would be a popular one if it did happen. How realistic it is, obviously, we don't know. Someone who featured in the FA Cup recently and impressed, Will Evans from Newport, the forward player who he has 15 goals this season. And apparently we have an interest in him. But again, it'll be another one where we'll probably end up paying over the odds for him, because there will be a few teams vying for his signature. And that's if they even decide to sell him. So yeah, an interesting one. And then Jack Marriott, as we mentioned last week. That I don't think there's been any movement on that front from what I've seen, but you don't know what's going on behind closed doors. I mean, something could be announced tomorrow. But all of those three players would, I think, benefit us this season. But it's just whether we can... Well, we probably can't afford it, but it's just whether Simo thinks it'll be worth it.
Yeah, it's also whether we can, it's whether players will actually want to come to us as well. Because, I mean, you can have all the money in the world and, we don't quite have all the money in the world. But if the player's happy where they are, especially at this level where they're, if they've got a, if they've got a club already and things are going well for them there, then, what can Carlisle offer that might tempt them?
Yeah, why would they join a relegation battle if they're like decent League One clubs?
Yeah, that's the thing.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like the kind of Butterworth experiment just hasn't really worked out over the course of January, unfortunately. He's kind of had his opportunity and it's just not really sort of like came off. And yeah, there does seem to be that bit more importance about adding another striker,
Should have Coyote back soon, but
yeah.
It's still not imminent. I think Simo said he's just kind of back to training now. He's stopped being in pain, which is
it's a good start.
Fairly early stage in your recuperation, I imagine. It's like stopped hurting.
Yeah, moving on to outgoings, I think we can expect some at least in the next couple of days. Moxon has apparently gone to Portsmouth, and that's all but sealed. But again, these are rumours, which is a shame. Obviously, I did, make some hot-headed comments over on Instagram when that was announced that he wasn't signing a contract, which were kind of bore out of disappointment more than anything. But yeah, I'm not going to get too hung up on the Moxon thing, really. It's a shame, obviously. But it seems like he's off to Portsmouth. So we'll see about that as well.
Yeah, Blackpool again are kind of still linked with him.
I'd just like us to get some money for him, to be honest, because I'd rather he went now than for nothing in the summer.
It certainly would be something if we got money for him, considering he's got 6 months left on his contract and has already said that
he's off.
He said he's not signing that contract. I suppose
That's the thing.
I suppose in theory we could come in with a bigger contract that he does sign, but I guess likely the reason is that he's 26. Although he's kind of only just starting as a professional footballer, he's not got years and years ahead of him. So I guess if there's a chance for him to move up, then you can certainly kind of understand him wanting to take it.
Yeah, I think he will. I think he will be off, to be honest. But other than that, I'm not sure about any specific outgoings. Haven't seen anything, but I think the size of the squad now, you can expect probably maybe a couple to leave.
Yeah, the kind of ones that you'd think are the likes of Thomas Holy and Ben Barkley, who...
Corey Whelan.
Yeah, the players from last season, obviously Holy has played most of this season, but he's not even on the bench now. Barkley and Whelan, Harris have been well down the pecking order. But it's kind of like they'll only leave if there's a club in, you know, presumably League Two who need a player in that position. Because, you know, even if they've got a promotion and a decent season in League Two on their CV, clubs aren't going to come in for them at this stage unless it's going to have an effect on their season that they need. You know, you don't just go out and strengthen your squad generally in January. You go out and try and make the changes you need to make to either avoid relegation or get promotion.
I've got a weird feeling Jack Armour's going to go, you know.
Is that just a weird feeling?
It's just a sort of foresight kind of crystal ball kind of thing, but I've just got a weird gut feeling that Jack Armour's going to be gone before long.
That'll be a shame. Quite like Jack Armour.
Yeah, same.
Is Robinson is Robinson in on loan or is he?
No, he's ours now. He was on loan last season.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do like Robinson as well, to be fair.
Yeah, and it was an interesting one as well with Robinson because when we signed him permanently at the start of this season, I think there were a few people going, what have we signed him for? We came in on loan and hardly played. But it's taken him a while, but he's kind of shown a bit more quality about him now, yeah.
I mean, it's been okay, but like I was going to dive into it a bit later on, and like, we will dive into it a bit later on during the match report, but like when your team's still losing and, you know, I wouldn't say Robinson's putting in man of the match performances week in, week out, and I wouldn't say Jack Armour's done that much wrong. He's got a case. Yeah. He had a case to be thrown back into the team at least, like Armour, because like, you know, at the end of the day, he's got over 100 appearances for the club, I'm pretty sure, and like he does love the club, and I'm pretty sure he'd give it his all. Yeah. If you know what I mean, yeah. I think he's had long enough out to give us like one of those proper hearty performances that could probably, you know, show us. He's still really young as well. But I'll let you lads chime in on that one later on during the match report. Max, that's your transfer rumor roundup. Thank you very much for that, and I'll dive into some news, gentlemen, and further Patayak impact on the club. Sees the Patayaks come out and make comments recently about the £2.6 million debt that they bought over when they bought the club. They've said they've made arrangements for the debt to be cleared in the most tax efficient way. So progress has been made on that one, and obviously smart business people. So lads, that debt's going to be, you know, disappearing, and it's going to be gone in the very near future, and it just makes, you know, the future that little bit more brighter for the Cumbrians. But something that hasn't been a very good subject to cover, unfortunately, has been the fact that Paul Simpson came out and made comments recently that he's going to have a little conversation with Owen Moxon, because he feels like his performances have been impacted by a lot of the comments that have been made on social media these days. And this, gentlemen, is something that I did want to talk to you about. I mean, Max, Liam, you guys are open to scrutiny on social media all the time. Your comment sections can be filled with all kinds of like hateful things and stuff like that. So you've got your own experiences with having negative comments as well. Surely, you know, doing this kind of thing to a player, it does have negative comments, does have negative connotations on the performances, does it not? Max, I'll let you jump in first.
Yeah, I think it probably does. I'm guilty of, you know, taking to social media to vent, you know, frustration. Which is what I did the other day, and you know, I sort of held my hands up for that. But in the same breath, it's like, you know, what do players expect? I mean, it's part and parcel of, you know, modern football, I would say. But you know, it's you know, people need to sort of take a breath, me included, before making comments. But you know, if he's going to go to a higher level, he's going to get a lot more of it. That's the fact of it. So it's just one of those things. But yeah.
It's not been handled.
I don't know.
It hasn't been handled in the best way. No, Liam, have you got any comments about this?
I'll be honest, Max, I disagree with you. I think you've got absolutely nothing to apologise
for. It's one of them. Like,
It's like, well, he's been putting in very poor performances all season, and then it comes out that he's turned down a new contract with the club. Are we just meant to go, oh, well done, Moxon, you know, thank you for turning us down and making us lose one of our biggest assets, you know? And like he says, he wants to go play at higher level. He's going to get 10 times this if he goes and plays at, what, Bolton or somewhere in the Championship. Like, if you're a decent enough professional, you don't let negative comments on Instagram get to you that much. You can't. You just can't let that affect you. And if it is true that that's why he's being poor on the pitch, I mean, it just sounds like a big excuse more than anything.
Yeah, I mean, there's two sides to it, obviously. But yeah, it's the fans are always going to get annoyed, and
wherever you go, you're going to get crap from the fans. Like,
yeah.
It's just an excuse. I think Simpson's come out and said that to try and get a bit of sympathy for him, because he has been thrown under the bus a little bit by Paul Simpson himself. Like, there was no necessity for Paul Simpson to even come out and say that he had turned down the contract. Like, that's something Paul Simpson chose to put out in public.
I think it would come out anyway, stuff like that, though, because...
It would, I suppose. But he has come out and confirmed that he's going to be leaving for free, pretty much, or at least going in this January. Like, it's something Paul Simpson's kind of thrown him into and then kind of gone, oh, look, we can't have any negative comments about him. You know, it just feels like a big, more of an excuse than anything actually, like, real.
I think it's kind of like more the accusations that he doesn't want to be here and he's not really trying, that maybe seem more unfair than, you know, because you can say what you like about players, you know they're not good enough, this shit, that was an awful miss, or this player's not good enough for us, and that's part of the game. I think obviously when people start kind of suggesting that players don't want to play for the club, and it probably hurts him if he is kind of like still trying and it's his boyhood club, and you know, to have the fans of the team that he's supported as a kid, and it's kind of, it's been his dream to kind of get promoted with them, you know, it's maybe all that kind of like more personal stuff, which, you know, if we assume that he goes somewhere like Bolton and the time comes that he gets stick off their fans, maybe won't hurt him as much.
Maybe. Yeah, it's one of those things, isn't it? Like, nothing any fan says is, you know, it's not to attack the guy. It's nothing like proper personal. They don't, you know, it's just because of the passions of the, you know.
Yeah, we're insulting him as a footballer, not him as a person.
Yeah, exactly. If you've seen him on the street or in person, you're not going to give him a stick, are you?
Exactly.
Well, I haven't seen like all of them, you know, all of the comments that have maybe affected him, but it's possible that some of them have gotten quite personal, because, you know, I mean, if people are kind of like saying, oh, you know, you don't want to be here, you don't care about the club and all that kind of stuff, then, because I mean, like, you know, same like Max has said that he's been quite critical of him, but you know, there's probably or maybe kind of like fans that are going even further, because there always has been, you know, when kind of like players either aren't performing well or the team aren't performing well or something comes out about the player maybe wanting to move. You know, there's always a handful that take it too far. I don't know if you remember, there's been times when players have been confronted on the street. So there's a minority who, you know, who will kind of like make things really personal.
It's that whole thing with, like, you know, when Morgan Feeney came with Shrewsbury, during the game, he was getting like a bit of stick or whatever. After the game finishes, like, you're just not bothered, are you? It's like,
no, you can't be.
Yeah.
It's like a pantomime in a way. Like Farman, you, if you Farman see Morgan Feeney in Tesco, that, like,
on,
you're not going to. No, I was just going to say, if I seen Morgan Feeney in Tesco, I wouldn't have been like shouting at him or anything. You know what I mean?
Of course you wouldn't. No one would be. No one would be. You know, you might have a little slide dig at him, but like not like a proper, like, you know, just a joke. You know,
it's football, man. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's always been like that.
It's not that deep.
Yeah,
it's not. It's really not that deep. Like, some people, I will say, and I've seen a lot of people in the fan base recently, since things have started going wrong, there is a tendency to disregard other people's opinions. Which I would never do. Everyone's got, you know, their reasons for thinking some, you know, whatever they're thinking. So, but I think next, you know, once things start going better on the pitch, I think all that stuff will disappear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we'll have to get things getting better on this podcast, because it's been a bit of a downer with the news and sort of like losing Mox and all that kind of stuff that we've already covered. So it's time that we probably play a game, lads, to be completely honest. That normally cheers everybody up. But before we do, we'll have just have a quick word from one of our sponsors.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
All right, lads, it's time to play the old tried and tested classic. That's right, it's time for True Blue or Not a Blue. And I've gone for the 1974-1975 season. And, you know, there might be a couple of bench warmers in there, though, so it might be a bit difficult. But, you know, Colt, Carlisle United fans will definitely know a number of names amongst these red herons that there always is. That's right, boys. It's time to play True Blue or Not a Blue. But before we do, we've got to decide the running order for the game. And as I always do, I've got to improvise a way to rank yous.
74-75 season, my favourite.
That's... Oh! Okay, so we're going to dive
no,
into...
No, I was trying bollocks.
But no, I don't have to think of a category to rate people by, don't I? So I'm going to rate yous all on your favourite choice of Greg's pastry. All right, so Will, you're going to go first.
Sausage roll.
Sausage roll, yeah. Max.
Steak bake for me.
That crap. Okay. sausage, cheese and bean melt.
Oh.
That's the triple alliance there. Yeah.
Liam's won it there, and Will with the sausage roll, and Max is last with the old steak bake. I'm not a big steak bake fan myself. I'm sorry, I'm not. Yeah,
that's
but I love
fine, but that's fine.
The sausage roll.
We could do a poll on that somewhere.
No, we could do a poll on that, and I'd be wrong probably. Yeah
steak bake it's an instant classic. The steak bake.
It's an instant classic. Well, maybe some of these names were a notable instant classic during that 1974-75 squad. So as we're going Liam, Will, then Max, and the first. Oh no, it's not that game anyway, is it? He plays a team.
No,
I was going to say there wasn't a FIFA 75, was there?
Yeah, I got confused.
I'm still claiming the win there.
Yeah, you can claim the win. You can definitely have the win. But it doesn't matter. Yeah, you're playing as a team in this one. It's True Blue or Not a Blue, guys. The first name on the list is Bobby Parker.
Max, you're the expert.
I'll go.
Self-proclaimed.
True Blue for that one. That's my first instinct, anyway.
Okay.
Do with that what you will.
Is everyone going with it?
Yeah, let's go with that.
We're going with that. It is a True Blue. Well done.
Nice.
The next guy is Ray Train.
Oh, that's a real person. I've heard of him.
That's such a cool
blue
name.
Blue one,
I know. It's a name that sticks in your mind, which is why I remember him. Yeah, he's definitely real.
In the 74-75 squad.
Oh, I think, I don't know. I think it was around then.
So you're going to say True Blue? Everyone's saying True Blue?
Yeah.
Well done, lads. You're 2 out of 2. Congratulations. You're a defensively midfield-minded player.
I think
Ray
the guy who invented the tram was called Train. Just a weird fact for you right there.
Was it Ray Train?
It might have been. Football on the side.
The next one on the list, guys, is Bill Green.
He throws a green in here a lot, you know. He says the last name Green in his
He loves
a
colour.
Sounds too ordinary.
Yeah, I don't think he's real.
Saying not a blue. Bill Green was a true blue, I'm afraid, lads. Unlucky on that one. We'll move straight on, though. We'll try and gloss over it. And the next one on the list is Martin Dennis.
Has he just fought Christian Dennis?
Yeah.
What have we got? No, it was not a blue. It was true Dennis. Blue, true.
True blue or not a blue? Blue Martin blue. Dennis.
I'm going to say not. I just thought it's time for a not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Say not a blue for Martin Dennis. Congratulations, lads.
Yes.
Well done. You're 3 out of 4. Let's end on a triumph. Let's go for this one. Dennis Martin.
Oh, for God's sake. Well,
it would be weird if you just like put them both in there and they were both fake.
Well,
I think he's done it.
Yeah, I think
not a blue.
Yep.
Yeah, because he must have known that we'd think, not a blue.
Say not a blue for Dennis Martin. But he was a true blue, lads. He was a right midfielder. He was a true blue. So 3 out of 5. 3 out of 5 ain't bad, boys. 3 out of 5 ain't bad. And we'll limp into the match report. We're going to try and power through the match report. Maybe not do it in the classic style we've normally done it, but I will give you, of course, the Carlisle United starting lineup that started the past weekend's 4-1 defeat at home to Bolton Wanderers. It featured Harry Lewis in goal with a back five of Ellis, Lavelle, Huntington, Mellish and Robinson. A midfield three of McAlmont, Neil and Moxon, and a front pairing of Butterworth and Armstrong. Now, like I did mention a little bit earlier, I teased it a little bit earlier, gentlemen. It's the fact that, you know, Butterworth being in that starting lineup, we got to potentially improve that position. But you've said we've got Coyote coming back, and that injury news is, you know, it's fantastic stuff. Left back position, though, that's what I really wanted to talk about. The fact that Jack Armour has been missing from that left back position. I wouldn't say that his performances were too bad for him to have been dropped. But, like, guys, what do you think of this one? You know, has Robinson been, you know, good enough just to keep his position? Or would you want to give Jack Armour, you know, who's been chomping at the bit, hopefully, his opportunity to get back into the starting lineup, Liam?
I think if you're going to go with a back five, go with Jack Robinson, because I think he's a lot more attacking. If you're going to go with a back four, then I'd stick with Armour. And I think another thing with Robinson is he's got a really good record from set pieces. Like, I think he's our top assister this season, and he's barely played that many games, really, when you look at some of the other players.
Yeah, I mean, Jack Armour can also put in a wicked cross, being one of his strengths.
He can, but I think in terms of, like, corners and, you know, free kicks kind of thing, I think Jack Robinson does just, like, he edges him on that one as well.
I think, was it Port Vale when we got that winner? I think that was Robinson who put that ball in for Mellish.
Yeah.
That was a quality ball, that. So it might just be that he's, yeah. He gives us more of a threat going forward, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so sticking with that one, sticking with the lineup pretty much, apart from maybe the inclusion of Owen Moxon, obviously, you know, coming out recently and saying he's going to have a word with him about social media comments, but you have to be aware of that stuff going into the day. Or maybe it was too early for Bella to be introduced into the lineup, but there's, you know, potentially still other options on that bench that you could have gone with. Obviously, Diamond is coming in as well, but maybe still too early for him to enter into the starting lineup. Is it time for a formation change? Then, guys, if we're going to be losing Moxon, are we going to be looking at potentially bringing in another striker? Coyote coming back, you know, still strong strikers on the bench like Maguire and Garner. Are we going to be looking at 4-3-3 potentially? What do you think of that one, Max? Would you like to see a change of formation?
I would, to be honest, yeah. I think the league table shows you that, obviously, the formation we're using now, what's it, 5? What is it that we're using?
5-3-2.
Yeah, it's obviously not working, is it? Served us well last season, but I think Simo's, in his previous spell, I think it was a 4-3-3, what that brought us success. I know you can't really read too much into that, but I think if he feels like he's got the players for it, then yeah, we should maybe go for a bit of a change.
Yeah, we'll do.
Try
do
and
you,
score
do
more goals.
Do you want to see a change in formation?
Yeah, potentially. We've started bringing in players that wouldn't necessarily fit into the current formation, like Jack Diamond, who, you know, is a winger primarily. You know, Coyote coming back, primarily a wide player. Usually where Jordan Gibson excels as well. So we kind of, you know, it feels like a lot of our hopeful quality now is going to be, you know, maybe out wide, which is a, you know, it's an area that 5-3-2 doesn't really make the best of.
Yeah. And despite having a back five, Carlisle United suffered 4 goals at the hands of Bolton Wanderers, 2 of which come in the first half. The first goal, as a neutral, it looked pretty, but it is incredibly poor defending, unfortunately. Liam, you zeroed in on one particular defender during your YouTube post this past weekend, and it was Jack Ellis, and you commented on the fact that, you know, why is Emmanuel not in the team? And, you know, do you still stand by those comments?
Yeah, I watched back like the first half of the match earlier today, and I just, Jack Ellis, he was always put up against 2 players out wide. I think he was definitely overrun out wide, and they do this stupid thing where it's zonal marking instead of man marking, is where they just seem to, it's a tactical thing. It's not really Jack Ellis's fault exactly, but where they'll leave a man out wide, they won't mark the man out wide on the right if the ball's at the other end of the pitch. And it's just not... The idea is that if it goes out wide, then Jack Ellis will move out. But it leaves so much room for attacking down our right-hand side. And with Jack Ellis just being kind of left on his own for a lot of the game, to mark sometimes 2 or 3 people out wide for a young defender like that, I think he didn't play well, but he was destined to fail from the start. And you've also got to think that's exactly the role we've just signed a player for in Josh Emmanuel, and he just seems to have fell off the edge of the earth or something. He just hasn't been involved at all. Is it because he was a bit too attacking?
He did have an injury at one point. I mean, I don't know if his injury's over, and he's just not got back into the... Yeah,
it comes out on Monday, doesn't it, if they're injured. Like, he'll normally tell you by Monday if they were injured for the Saturday game. He doesn't like letting people...
He might not be injured anymore, but I think that's the reason why he originally came out of the squad.
Yeah, and to be fair, Jack Ellis did well last week when he played. It's just, I mean, Emmanuel's not even on the bench, and you think that's, you know, the first signing of the new era. Clearly one Paul Simpson wanted. It's just weird that he's just disappeared completely.
He had a few bad games, to be fair. He didn't play brilliantly.
And we had this kind of discussion about Joel Senior last season, which is like, if you're a fullback and that's your only position, you quite often get left out of the squad if you're not starting, because, you know, the manager wants players on the bench that he's likely to need in case of injury. So
that is true, but sometimes when we've changed to a front three this season, he's put Emmanuel as like a, or even the right hand side of a back midfield four.
He'll be back on his phone soon.
Yeah, we'll get back on his phone soon.
Emmanuel has certainly would like to see him again, because he offered a lot going forward as well. I don't think Ellis has done particularly badly, but if he's back fit again, Emmanuel, then, you know, it gives us something. He's, you know, he takes on players, he goes past people. Which is something I'd like to see more of.
Yeah, definitely. And we might give Liam the opportunity to dive back on his Emmanuel motif, but I think, Will, you probably covered it really well there. And we'll try and power on and dive through. Changes were needed for Carlisle United going into the second half, and Paul Simpson did make 2 changes, bringing on Jack Diamond and Gibson as well. And, you know, Gibson, once again, proving what a lot of Carlisle United fans have been saying for a long time. Why is he not starting games? Because he is very much a spark. He seems to have made the step up to this League One level. He seems to be able to drive play. He seems to be able to create opportunities. He'd take opportunities as well. And it's an impressive goal. It looked like instinct for him. He just a clean strike onto the front post. And, you know, Carlisle looked like they had a chance at least for the last 20 minutes of the game, or at least on paper, they look like they had a chance at least for the last 20 minutes of the game. And it's hard to see with Moxon potentially leaving. I mean, I don't think McAlmont's been incredibly impressive either. I mean, it's going to be hard to keep Gibson out of the Carlisle United starting lineup against Leyton Orient on Saturday. Will, would you like to see Gibson brought into the team? And if you do, how would you like to see him brought in? You know, into a 4-4-2 as a winger, or like where would you like to see him brought in?
I would like to see him brought in because I think you just need to, you know, you need to play your best players. And throughout this season, he has been, you know, probably has been just about our best player, him and Lavelle. So, like, from the start of the season. So, you know, you just want to see, you know, you want to see us have that opportunity, you know, to create the opportunities that he can finish. So, yeah, I'd like to see him come maybe into a 4-3-3, something that's going to give him a bit more chance in front of goal than if he came in as a winger. So, you know, maybe him, Armstrong, and potentially Diamond.
Yeah, Max, is that something that you want to change that up, or is that something that you pretty much...
Yeah, I don't know if Luke Armstrong is... I'm not sure about... how Luke Armstrong would be in a front three. I don't know whether he's like, I don't know if he'd work better with, you know, him on his own up front. I don't know if he'd just spend the game sort of chasing balls, or, you know, I don't know how he played at Harrogate, to be fair, whether he had a striking partner or how it would work really. But I do hope there is a change of formation though. I'm sure Sim will have some up his sleeve to against Leyton Orient, but I think we do definitely need to win that game.
Yeah, it's a hugely important game to try and bring the 3 points back to, and we'll make our predictions a little bit later on as well. But you know, the games, you know, there's less and less of them, and the points total now, as everyone I'm sure is aware of that's listening to this, is 10 points between Carlisle and safety, and a couple of games in hand as well. Unfortunately, it's a tall task, gentlemen. You know, we're going to have to go on some kind of run at some point if we're going to be able to stay up this season. And but you know, it's a hard task. We were ready for it at the start of the season, weren't we? I feel like a lot of Carlisle United fans are getting used to the fact that, you know, we predicted this stuff earlier on in the season. It was always going to be a smash and grab if we were going to stay up. And, you know, this is classic Carlisle United. It were probably going to take it to the wire. I honestly do think...
I hope we do.
We're honestly going to take it to the wire.
I mean, looking at where we are now, it's kind of hard to imagine us being safe before the end of the season. So
there's plenty of teams as well just above the relegation zone that are literally only above the relegation zone by 3 points.
Yeah,
as
it keeps
well.
Changing,
so there's loads
though,
of people
like,
that can get sucked down.
Yeah, I was going to say it keeps changing though, doesn't it? Because Exeter were getting sucked in, but now they're back up mid-table again.
Yeah, so, it's the ever-changing dodginess of this league. No one's safe apart from the top four.
I think we do need at least... I was thinking then we need about 10 points for the next 5 games. We need to start winning. It's simple as that. Like,
yeah, we need to win.
Now, in case
we've got enough games left, but the longer it keeps on going, I mean, we've lost 4 in a row.
Sorry, I was just going to say, in case people are wondering what happened to Liam, his laptop's died, but apparently he's going to try and rejoin us again on his phone, because he is technically competing in guessing the player later on. But like, if we have to, like, I'll just have to take on Wills, I suppose, if it comes to that kind of thing. But just so people know kind of what's happened to Liam, his laptop died, but hopefully he'll get back on his phone very soon. And lads, it's a disappointing performance, unfortunately. And it means that it's one of those ones where you have to wipe the chalkboard clear. We've already said about, like, hopefully making some formation changes, definitely making some potential huge recruitment changes as well, bringing in new people into the lineup. And so Leyton Orient's the next one. And hopefully things are going to go better for Leighton Orient. But before we do our prediction, we will give Max and, well, hopefully Liam, if he manages to come back and join us, the opportunity to give us some of your match reactions that you've left along comment sections and various messages or just personal interactions with the man Max himself. And yeah, so Max, there's no reason. I'll just hand over to you. Oh, we'll let Liam in. Well, Liam's back in the waiting room.
Oh, he's connected now.
There he is. So Liam, yeah. Basically, we're doing the listeners sort of like a match reaction. So we're gonna let Max go first. So if you've got your comment section somewhere or whatever,
there's no echo, is there?
I mean, you're all right, man. You're all okay. Right. And no worse than Roy's stories audio was last week. but yeah, Max, we'll let you like read off some of the comments.
Yeah, I mean, there's. Some of it's more negative than others. There was a lot of comments on Twitter saying that we don't have a tactical approach to games anymore, or at least there doesn't seem to be. I think that's a bit of a dig at Simo from a few certain people on Twitter. Listen, I don't agree with that, to be honest. But you can see why people are starting to make those sort of comments when there doesn't seem to be any sort of improvement game on game. Some of the in-person interactions that I had with the people who I went to the game with, it's a shame really, because there's almost like a sense of, you know, we're expecting to lose at this point. It's just the general negative, you know, complaining that you hear at the football. That's basically all I've been noticing since the game.
Liam, what have you managed to pick up in your comment section, pal?
I found one that's a little bit more positive. It was just highlighting that the state of the club behind the scenes is a lot better. And he says, people don't understand that Simo took us from relegation in League 2 to League 1 in such a short space of time. Then having no finances in a league with like 6 or 7 ex-Premier League
say
clubs.
Twice.
Yeah, well, twice. Yeah,
exactly. just that Simo is the right man for Carlisle, as you won't get someone who cares more about the club than him. And there's no real big alternatives in terms of management at the minute. So even if you were to sack him, who would you even get in to replace him?
Flop.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't manage to manage a little bit in England. Neil Warnock.
he's sailed, dropped to League 2.
Yeah, that was a while ago, and I think a couple of seasons ago, and I think he's just basically retired now.
No, it was on the Peter Proud podcast like 2 weeks ago. He said he stated he's not retired. He stated he's not retired.
Simo's the man for the job, man.
Oh, yeah, Simo's the man for the job.
Yeah.
I get why people are kind of saying stuff, but yeah, for me, it's, you know, next, if we go down next season, we'll see what happens then. But I think as you know, Satya now, he's definitely, I don't think we've got anything to gain from sacking him.
No, definitely not. Have you got any more comments, Liam?
Simon Entwistle says that the positive Liam is fans are turning out in huge numbers to support the club. That is marvellous dedication in such trying times. I thought that was a nice comment.
Yeah, that's true as well.
Yeah, very nice, very nice. Keeping it positive, Liam, thanks very much for being the yin to Max's yang's comment section this week.
I had 20 comments. I picked out the 2 positives.
It was a good effort. It's a good effort, mate. It's a good effort. And thanks very much for all comments and all contributions to everything. You know, they obviously get read out, and we obviously, you know, these guys read most of them, I assume, and if not all of them. And yeah, and there's always a chance for yours to get read out here on the Blue Army podcast, and we'll talk about it potentially. What else we're going to talk about before we dive into everybody's favorite game is predictions. It's Leighton Orient, it's next weekend, it's away, and it's about time we got to some winning ways, in my opinion. And we do all right, you know, we've got the London branch in tow, and I'm going to hope that we're going to come away with the 3 points. And I'm going to say it's going to be 2-1 to Carlisle United on the day. Armstrong with a brace of goals for the Cumbrians. And that's going to be my prediction. And Max, what's going to be your prediction?
Yeah, 2-1. I'd love to kind of predict a clean sheet, but I don't know when the last time we got a clean sheet was. Probably Shrewsbury.
Shrewsbury,
I think.
We've had one this season.
Yeah, so yeah, 2-1 for me. I would like it to be Armstrong, but I've got a feeling Neil might pop up with one.
Cheeky guess. Will, what are you going with?
I'm just going to go a very close 1-0 win. Classic away performance, maybe a bit of smash and grab. Luke Armstrong with the goal.
Yeah.
Late-headed goal from a set piece.
Yeah. It's a good prediction. Liam?
I'm going to say 1-1. Luke Armstrong getting an equaliser late on.
Just one step below, mate. One step below. Right, lads, it's time to play everybody's favourite game.
Guessing the player.
Come on, boys, here we go.
We're all on it this week
because it is the turn to clue guide for Max this week, and it is Will versus Liam in a league that seems to have lost all sense of sensibility. But I'm pretty sure this is technically a mid-table clash between Will and
nobody knows.
Well, in a league of four, there's only two people in the mid-table.
So. Yeah, so technically it's right. It's you two. As Max still,
and we know who's bottom.
Yeah, exactly. I got the 2 points.
I don't know if I am top now.
I'm pretty sure you weren't for 1 week and then you reclaimed it or something.
Okay.
Yeah, But no one's managed to top. You were like 5 points clear at one point and people have beaten you or the people have won, but they've not managed to get like that 5 point total just yet, I do believe. But Liam, you're pretty close. And today, you know, there's the potential for you to go top of the guessing the player table, probably.
You don't.
Yeah, he's got no idea. There's maybe a chance for you to go
probably.
Am I already beat top?
There probably is a chance that you're going to go top of the league this week. So, you know, does that give you anything to think about going into this game?
I think I've lost my last two. So I'm just trying a bit like Carlisle to get back to winning ways. I'm not bothered about the table because I have absolutely no idea where I am. So I'm just one game at a time for me, I think.
Will, you might be in for a bit of another smash and grab season this season. Yeah. Last season, you let the sort of like, you know, the top of the table run away with things for a while, but came back in dramatic fashion to win the first ever Guessing the Player tournament. And, you know, there's potential for you to do it again here. You've mounted a couple of back-to-back victories, I do believe. And, you know, how do you feel about the momentum building into this game?
Yeah, I think it's the right time of the season to start to get a bit of momentum. It's how it worked last season, and hopefully it'll work the same this season.
Well, fantastic comments from both the players. It's time to hand over to our very capable clue guide, Max, and it's time to play. Guessing the Player, take it away.
Right, okay. So first clue, this player was born in Keswick. And most recently played for Workington
Who's
Reds.
The home team?
Good question.
It's a good question. It's actually Liam. Should we go?
Oh, yeah, Liam. I was going to say, should we use the Greg's pastry thing?
The Greg's pastry thing, which would be or Liam first anyway.
Yeah. Either way.
Yeah, go on, Liam.
I'll repeat the question if you want to.
Yeah. Okay.
This player was born in Keswick. And most recently played for Workington Reds. I'll give you his age as well. He's 31. 31, 32.
So that's three clues.
Yeah, but... Yeah.
It's all right. I still don't know who it is. I know, and do you know, I know who it is, but I don't know his name.
I think I might know who it is.
Yeah, it's one of the ones where I know exactly who you're talking about, but I can't remember his name.
That's my phone.
So... just gonna have to go. I know he played against. I know he plays in that league, but it's not him. It's Nicky Adams. It's not him.
It's not Nicky Adams.
Is it Stephen Rigg?
Yes.
We all dream of a team of Stephen Riggs.
I'd never.
As soon as you said born in Keswick, but like one of my mates actually went to school with him, obviously like him being from Keswick's one of the things that
he's a bit of a Cumbrian sort of hero. Really, he's played in like for every Cumbrian team. I'm pretty sure. he's got 64 goals in 85 appearances for Penrith. So kind
of like he signed for us because he scored loads of goals.
Yeah. That was the next clue.
well done, Will. You've managed to claim three points.
That didn't last long.
It didn't last long, but it doesn't always have to, mate. Don't worry. It's all about what you do with it. And, you know, we all had fun with guessing the player this week.
Salim, did you kind of know it was Stephen Rigg?
I knew it was him, but I couldn't remember his name. Yeah. I think I'd watched him at a Reds match before, and somebody told me, oh, he used to play for Carlisle.
He had two spells.
I knew he was a striker. Mm,
he came back briefly.
Yeah, just for three games, apparently.
Stephen Rigg was the guessing the player correct answer this week. Will takes home the 3 points in dramatic fashion. It hasn't been done in a while, I guess, on the first question. So congratulations to Will for claiming one of those victories. I'm sure it'll have huge implications on the league table, and we probably won't find out next week. So there isn't really anything else left to do apart from saying bye for now.
Bye for now.
Bye for now.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.